Turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. I believe that the Lord has given me a word for the year 2026, and I am very excited to share it with you guys. Because I was talking to Pastor maybe last week, and I was like, I'm trying to preach a Christmas message, but I just don't, that's not where God is leading me to. So I believe that the Lord has given me a message this morning, and I pray that as I speak what he has spoken to me, that you hear what he's saying to you as well. Amen? So I'll start here. 25 years ago, me and my siblings, we moved to this country, and many things went into that move. But one of the main things that went into that move, see, if you've never moved from one country to the next, you don't really know the struggle it is to get a passport, a visa, and to get all these things that you need to simply travel, work, and live in a different place. And I remember being in high school, and I had a strong desire to work. But of course, as an immigrant, I didn't have the papers or the letters that I needed to work. So though I had a strong desire to work and make money and get all the cool shoes that, you know, all the other kids had, without the actual letters, without the actual paper, I lacked the power to do these things. So in Acts chapter 7, we are introduced to someone named Saul. So everybody knows who Paul is, but Acts 7 tells us the man called Saul. And in Acts 7, verse 58, it says this: "And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." Chapter 8, verse 1. "Now Saul was consenting to his death, the death of Stephen. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Verse 2. "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women and committing them to prison." So Acts 7 and 8, we are introduced to this man named Saul. Now, most of us know Saul as Paul, but I do believe that there are some details in the life of Saul that we miss. So Saul was someone who could call shots. Saul was someone who had a resume. Saul was known as the head honcho in town. If someone was going to die, people had to come and say, "Hey, Saul, can we kill that guy?" And Saul would say thumbs up or thumbs down. So Saul had a resume. Saul was well known. Saul made decisions. He had a resume. But in Acts 9, verse 1, it says this: "And Saul, yet breathing out threats and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." So Saul was full of passion. Saul was full of zeal. Saul was someone who could call shots in Jerusalem. But Saul knew that if I wanted to go from point A to point B, I needed letters from the high priest. Saul knew that he could not make that move from where he was to where he wanted to go unless he had letters from the high priest. It says that Saul was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. I mean, Saul was that kind of person that when they get mad, foams at the side of his mouth. Right? Saul was someone who was passionate. He was full of zeal. But Saul came to a place where his resume, his reputation, and his passion was not enough. So in Jerusalem, Saul was the man. Saul had passion. Saul had zeal. Saul could call shots. Saul could do whatever he wanted to do. But to move over to this other city, he needed letters from the high priest. So what are letters? The Greek word for letters is the word epistle. And it simply means letter, message, or empowerment. So Saul needed empowerment to move from where he had a resume, from where he was known, to a place where he wasn't as known to do what he wanted to do. So even before Saul became a follower of Jesus, he understood that passion and zeal without empowerment, without letters, means nothing. Raise your hand here if you've ever desire to walk closer with God. Okay, that should be everybody in this room, right? But then, though you desire to walk closer with God, your desire and your actual walking, there's a huge gap in between those two. So Saul is Saul's life here shows us that though you can have zeal, though you can have passion, to actually exercise, to actually walk this thing out, you need letters from the high priest. See, Saul did not need motivational teaching. Saul did not need a therapist. Saul did not need to just name it and claim it and wish it. Saul knew that to actually move from point A to point B, to move from this is what I desire to this is how I'm going to live, I need letters. I need actual empowerment from somebody. Amen? Now, some of you guys might be saying, but Brother Ike, that is Saul. That's not Paul. That's prior to when Paul got saved. That's Saul. So turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans 7. Romans chapter 7. So most of you guys know the story of Paul, but if you don't, I'll just do a quick recap real quick. As you know, Saul was a leader in the Pharisee group, and Saul persecuted Christians. So on the way to persecute more Christians, Saul encountered God, and he encountered Jesus in a vision. And in this vision, Jesus says to Saul, I've called you, I've chosen you, you are going to preach my gospel. So in Romans 7 verse 15, Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome, and he says this, but what I hate, that I do. And then in verse 18, he continues that same thought, saying, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will, to desire is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So even after Saul became Paul, he had a great desire to do the things of God. But he's saying here that though I have this great desire, the actual power, the actual strength to actually live this thing out, I don't have it. Paul is saying, I desire not to sin. I desire to do right by God. I'm still zealous for the things of God. But the truth is this, that though I desire this, the actual power, I'm lacking something that I need. Just like Paul, when he was Saul, was lacking that power to go from point A to point B. He's saying, once again, though I'm in Christ, I'm still lacking that power. I still don't have what I need to go from I want to truly be better and stop this sinful life to I am actually better and I don't sin no more. So Paul is showing us here that even after he got saved, there's something that is missing. He still had to go to the high priest. He still had to go to the high priest. See, Paul's story is our story because everybody in here, and you don't have to raise your hand because I know you are human just like me. You have at some point said, God, I will never do this sin ever again. And probably sometime in the next month, you did that sin once again. We've all said, God, I desire more of you. I want to spend time with you. I want to fast. I want to pray. I want to do A, B, C, D. But the truth is, when it comes down to actually doing A, B, C, D, there's no power to do A, B, C, D. So Paul, who was Saul, has shown us on both fronts that even in the natural and in Christ, that there are times when we truly have a desire for something, but we lack the power. We lack the actual words. We lack the letters. We lack the strength to go from what we desire to what we want to see as a reality in our lives. And in Romans 3, verse 23, this is a very known scripture, and it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So despite our desire, despite our reputation, despite our zeal, despite our education, despite how much we cry, there is a gap between desire and practice. There is a gap between desire and how we actually live, because all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. None of us have been perfect in practice. Though we might desire, nobody whoever walked this earth besides Jesus has actually been perfect. So do we have zeal? Do we have passion? Yes. Most of us in here truly want to live right, truly don't want to sin, truly don't want to do things that don't please God. If you are married to your spouse, most of us don't want to cheat. Most of us want to do right. Most of us want to do what is right by our spouse. But the truth is that sometimes there is a gap between what we want to do and what we do because we lack the actual power to live it out. So Paul is saying here that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, the things that I do desire, I can't even live those things out. I can't live those things out. And this truly is the story of Christmas. And though this is not a Christmas message, this is the hope behind the birth of Jesus. Because we have all fallen short. We have all messed up. We have all sinned. We have all told God, God, I'm not going to do it, only to turn around and do it once more. And this is the beauty of Jesus. And this is why we just sang what we just sang. What a wonderful name. What a powerful name. Because it's not just that his name is Jesus, but at his birth, he was given two names, Jesus and Emmanuel, God with us. So he's God with us in our suffering. He's God with us in our sorrow. He's God with us when we don't get it. He's God with us when we have doubts. He's God with us when we fear. He's God with us when we sin. Even if we make our bed in hell, he's with us. He's married to the backslider, as the scripture says. So he is truly, truly God with us. So this morning, my heart is simply saying, go to your high priest. Like Saul did, go to your high priest. If you lack the power to do what you know you need to do in Christ, go to your high priest. Don't think you can do it on your own. That's what he's there for. He is our high priest. He is our high priest who lives forever to intercede for us. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Like Saul, we must go to our high priest. Like Saul, we must actually submit our desire to our high priest. Not just go to him and say, hey, Jesus, this is what I'm thinking and this is what I want. Thank you. No, Saul went to the high priest saying, this is what I want to do. But you can sign off on it or you cannot sign off on it. If you choose not to, that's okay. See, most times when we go to God and pray, we go to God and pray telling him what we want him to do. But the truth is, if he's the high priest, he gets to make the call. And no is an answer. So we have to be people who go to our high priest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, having therefore a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all respects like us, yet without sin. Let us therefore come forward with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help. So Jesus understands our sorrow. He understands pain. He understands feeling alone. He understands weakness. He even understands temptation. I'll say it again. He even understands temptation. Because sometimes we feel like, well, Jesus never lived in this age that we live in, so he doesn't really get temptation. But if you really sit back and think about it, Jesus was tempted with things that we cannot even fathom. Jesus was tempted on levels that our mind cannot even comprehend. So we are saying, oh God, I'm tempted by this brother or this girl here. But Jesus is tempted with glory of kingdoms and nations and powers and things that our small minds cannot comprehend. So Jesus understands temptation. And of course, this is not an excuse for sin, but this is what makes him Emmanuel. This is what makes him God with us. He is truly God with us, not just in location, but in our humanity. He knows what it's like to put on flesh. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to want to sleep, but still have to press into the things of God. And this is why Paul would also go on to say things like, the flesh profits nothing, but the Spirit, who is the Word of God, helps us with our infirmities. Because here is the truth about Christmas, and this is why we celebrate Jesus. It's not because he was a baby. It's not because he was born by a virgin birth. Yes, all those things are true, and yes, all those things add up to the bigger picture. But the truth is this. He died for our sins, and not just died, but he rose back up, and now he sits in heaven at the right hand of the Father as our high priest who goes before us. Because by ourselves, we cannot go to the Father. By ourselves, we are too unclean to even look at God. But because of Jesus and what he did on the cross, we have a way. We have access to the Father. So we, like Saul, have to submit our desires to the high priest. Because we, like Saul, cannot go from point A to point B. There is no road from the flesh to the Spirit. There is no road from your flesh and what you feel and what you see and what you think and what you taste to the Spirit. That gap is too wide. So we have to go through someone, and that name is Jesus. That's why he is the high priest. That's why only he has that name. Amen? So this morning, once again, it's a simple message, but I truly want to drive home this point. Have you, like Saul, come to an end of yourself? See, Saul knew that to go from Jerusalem to Damascus, he had to forget those things that he had done. He had to lay those things down and submit to the high priest and tell the high priest, these are the things I want to do, but I lack the letters to do it. I lack the power to do it. Or do you still think that if you just work a little bit harder, that you can please God? If you just fast a little bit more, that, you know what, God would truly smile my way. If I just gave more money, if I just didn't miss church for the next month, God would truly be pleased with me. See, though we don't say, we always do small little things and have our little checklists. And we measure ourselves thinking that if I just do these things and work hard enough, I'll find the grace of God. But grace is freely given, saints. So have you come to the place where you realize that you are insufficient? You cannot do it. You cannot please him. He's not pleased by you, but he's pleased by what's in you, if what's in you is Christ. So we cannot please him on our own. Have you submitted your desires to your high priest? Have you submitted your desires to your high priest? Have you gone to him and said, Lord, these are the things I want to do, but you're my high priest, so you make the call. I'm not praying to you to have you co-sign off what I want. I'm praying to you to know what you want. I'm praying to you to find out what's on your mind, what's on your heart, and then let that be my will. Because if the high priest had said to Saul, Saul, don't go, Saul would have stayed. See, Saul knew something that we often don't know. And I fear that sometimes it's because as Christians, we can be very emotional. We think that tears move God, and tears don't move him. No, we serve a God who is spirit, and spirits are legal beings. They respond to sacrifice, to obedience. So Saul knew that, hey, if this high priest says don't move, I'm not going to move. But oftentimes, sadly, we come to God with tears and with all these things, which are fine, thinking that those things will move God. And those things do not move God because he's a man, because he's not man and he does not change. So we see here that have you submitted your desires to the high priest? And what happens when we submit our desires to the high priest? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, this is Paul speaking once again. And it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the word of God, when we submit to the word of God, when we submit our desires and our hearts to Jesus, it says that the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharp. It understands why you think the way you think. The word of God is better than any therapist. It's better than any doctor. It's better than any self-help thing that you can think or do. But most times, we don't submit ourselves to the word of God. We submit ourselves to what we think, what we feel, what we see, what we can taste, what we can touch, but we don't submit ourselves to the word of God. We don't submit ourselves to the high priest and let him have his way. And last but not least, have you, like Saul, have you received your letters? Have you received your word? Not name it, claim it, not this is my season, but truly, every single one of us in here needs to know what this word is saying, because this is our power. This is our life. This is what we truly live by. And it's not just the person who stands on stage that needs to know this book. Husbands, you need to know this book for your family. Mothers, you need to know this book for your husband and your children. Children, you need to know this book because, trust me, life is going to get hard. So every single one of us needs to know this book. We need our letters from our high priest, not just the person that stands on stage. And yes, they are degrees to knowing God. But you and I have the same access. I'm not more special because I stand on this stage. Every single one of us can enter in and know him just a little bit more. You can hear Jesus for yourself. You can hear him for yourself. You don't have to hear him through me. You can actually spend time with him and learn his voice and learn how he thinks and actually receive your own letters for your own family, for yourself, and truly know what the Lord is saying to you. Not just to us, but to you. Because if he formed you, if he truly formed you, he wants to talk to you. No good father makes a child and doesn't want to spend time with that child. If he is your father, he actually wants to talk to you, not around you, not to Ike and then to you. No, to you. So you can know him for yourself if you submit your desires to him and truly let him be the high priest over your life. So for some of you, you need that first letter from your high priest. And that first letter is, God loves you. It's just that simple. He loves you, and he died for you, and he wants you to be his. He's paid the ultimate price for your life, and he wants you to get to know who he is. And for others, you need a different letter, so to speak. Yes, you're saved, but you're far off. Like the prodigal son, you've ran away. You've been distant. You haven't been around much. You hear that voice that's calling you, but you're really not trying to walk as close. And take this as God speaking to you right now, saying, it's okay to come back. I understand weakness. I understand temptation. I understand falling short. And I've paid the price for that. And for others, that letter will simply come by committing to study this word of God more in this upcoming year. Because one of the things I've seen as I've opened this book time and time is that God will open up scriptures to you. And this book is living. This book will come alive. This book will guard you. It will guide you. It will make you say sorry when you were not the one who was wrong. This book will help you out in so many different ways. It's a living book. This book can change your life if you simply just study it and simply say, God, okay, I've read the scripture. Now give me power to actually live it out. Because it's easy to read. It's something to study, but it's something else to actually live it out. And to live it out, you need the living letter, which is the Holy Spirit, who is written on our hearts. You need the living letter of Christ to empower you, because none of us can do this on our own. Amen? So the message is really simple this morning. Do not enter 2026 without your letters. Submit your desires to God and watch him be faithful. Watch him truly do what he has promised. He said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You can take that to the bank any single day. God is faithful, and his word will always come to pass. So I'll close with this. Pastor Lincoln always tells this story, and he talks about how when he was first saved, that he was seeking the Lord for the gift of tongues. And for months, he would pray, he would cry, he would, do all these things. Truly, genuinely seeking the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And according to him, it's not until one day he opened up the letter and saw it right there. And it said that this gift is for you and your children's children. And boom, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So oftentimes we want to do all these emotional things. We want to cry before God, not bad. Sometimes I cry too, so, you know, it's cool, right? But the truth is this, is that after you're done crying, find out what the letter says. Don't cry and then don't read this book. See, we tell one of our twins that you're wasting tears. Don't waste tears and then don't find out what the Word of God says. So yes, be zealous. Yes, have passion. Yes, desire more of God. But truly, truly, those things are not enough. Like Saul, like Paul, we cannot do it on our own. We need the living letter, which is the Holy Spirit at work in us, showing us, teaching us all things, helping us walk into what God has called us to walk into. So I'll close with this. Don't go into 2026 without your letter. Commit to this book. Don't commit to a building. Don't commit to me. Don't commit to this pastor or this church. Commit to this book first. Then, out of that, everything else will flow. But if you are like me, you have wasted tears. You have wasted time thinking that you can do it on your own, that I just need to do all these things just to be more pleasing to God. And the scripture shows us over and over that we cannot. Only Jesus can please the Father. And as we are in him, we are pleasing to him. Amen? Amen. So let's just take a moment and just simply search our hearts and ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Any place in your life where you have desires that are outside the Word of God. Any place where you have passion, zeals, even if it's for God, you know that, God, I cannot make this thing happen, that I need your help. It's time to submit that thing to him. Don't take it into 2026. Just lay it at his feet this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you because you are faithful. We thank you because you alone are the high priest. You alone know what it's like to put on flesh. You alone know what it's like to be weak, to not have the strength. But Father, in your mercy, you have shown us that we can truly live this thing out if we choose by simply saying yes to your Son and asking for grace, knowing that you will give us grace, knowing that you will give us mercy. So Father, help us this morning to lay down that thing that we have, those things that are holding us back, those thoughts, those desires that we have hidden from you, Father. Help us to simply just submit it to you and say, Lord, do with it what you please. If it's a yes, so be it. If it's a no, so be it. But we trust you. Father, help us today. Help us today, Father, to see that we are truly insufficient without you. To see that we cannot do without you. To see that we cannot work hard enough. We cannot pray long enough. We cannot fast. We cannot give. There is nothing that we can do on our own strength that is pleasing to you. Oh, help us to submit to you, Lord Jesus, to submit to the high priest and know that you alone are faithful and know that you alone will give us the letters that we need to walk in the truth that we find in the scriptures. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, help us to continue to have on our hearts to just have the desire to want you to have your way in our lives, Lord. Father, we all really do want you to have our way, have your way in our lives, but our flesh gets in the way, Lord. We thank you so much for being gracious to us so that we know when our flesh does get in the way and when we do fall, as long as we just turn around and come back to you, Lord, you'll pick us up and set us back in the right way. Lord, we thank you so much for the word that we've received this morning. We pray that, again, we won't let it fall to the wayside as we go about the rest of the week and the holiday. Lord, help us to continue to keep our mind fixed on you. And we just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wasn't that a good word? Amen. So just a few announcements that we do have. First worship coming up on December 31st. We normally start at 11 p.m., but this time we're going to start at 10 p.m. So come out, be with us a little earlier on December 31st at 10 p.m. There's also some sign-up sheets in the lobby if you'd like to assist with setup or cleanup or anything. There's sign-up sheets in the lobby for that. And during that 10-hour, that extra hour, we're going to have refreshments and some couple of other special things going on. So definitely come out at 10 p.m. on the 31st. All right. Well, and also if you haven't had a chance to give, please know we always need your help. So make sure that you do that. And you are dismissed.